The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, please. Mark, chapter 2. This story beautifully and graphically illustrates the main responsibility of every Christian: to bring their friends and their loved ones to Christ, and the result is that they are saved. So Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Please understand, anything he would say is the word of God. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing the sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house.' And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw it on this fashion.'" Well, Capernaum was not a large town, just a small town with simple people, farm folks. That city was not like our highly mobile, ever-changing society of today. People were born, lived, and died in that small town. I can picture in my mind five boys growing up together. Their families were close. They loved and they helped each other. I can see them keeping the sheep together, those five boys playing tag, helping each other. I can see the fact that they were just great friends. And then one day, one of the five began to walk with a limp. And they all said, "What's wrong with you?" "I don't know, but it hurts all the time. But let's play." Then he began to drag his leg. There were no doctors, no hospitals, no emergency centers, no specialists. He began to drag the other leg, and then he couldn't walk at all. The other boys would carry him out to play. He would still laugh and clap, but he couldn't walk. He became paralyzed. They said he had the palsy. As time went on, he would lay in his back room, but he couldn't get out of bed. The other four boys would come to see him in the room. They would shuffle their feet as boys would and say, "Sure wish you could play." "I do too. I don't know what's wrong with me. Those boys grew up, but they never forgot their friend. Their lives went on, but they were still concerned about their friend. One day they heard that a man named Jesus, unlike any other man, was visiting their little town. Some said he was the Messiah, God's son. Everywhere he went, he healed people. Some said that he was Messiah, God's son. But they didn't know. All four boys had one thought. Let's get our friend to Jesus. They came to the boy's house. And they said to that boy that was laying in the back room, Jesus is here in our town and he can help you. We will carry you to Jesus. And he said, oh, but it's so, listen, we don't care. We want to take you to Jesus. Get on the bed. So I have just a couple of thoughts about the story. First of all, the paralyzed man is a type of the lost. He is helpless and he is hopeless. His head lives, but his spirit is dead. May we never forget, ladies and gentlemen, that the unsaved are lost. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. Men are by nature and by choice sinners, twice condemned. It is as natural for man to sin as the sparks fly upward. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 36. The Bible says this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Ladies and gentlemen, the doctrine of depravity does not say that man is as bad as he can be, but that man is as bad off as he can be. He is lost. When our Lord would teach Israel of God's attitude towards sinners, he records three parables in Luke chapter 15. It's called the lost and the found department of the Bible. In that chapter, a coin got lost. That gets lost because of carelessness. And then a sheep gets lost. A sheep gets lost because of helplessness. That's their nature. That's what they do. And then, of course, a son gets lost, and he gets lost because of selfishness. An important question is this. When man fell in the Garden of Eden, how far did he fall? The liberals would say this, man fell upward. He was better off. There's no need of a Savior. He is fine. The philosopher says man fell, but just a little bit. He grabbed on and he can reason his way back to the top. Religious people say man fell, but he fell on a ledge, and that ledge is the church. And the church can get you back to the top. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that man fell all the way to the bottom, and without the saving grace of God alone, man is lost, he's condemned, he's without hope, and he will suffer eternal judgment. And any time the Bible speaks, listen to the Bible. This young man, without a friend, would have laid in this back room and die because he is hopeless, because no one cared. But this fella had somebody who did care. Second of all, there were four who had a mission, and their mission was to get him to Jesus. They loved him so much, they were not willing to let him die in the back room. They wanted him to be like them, to have the same advantages. These four are a type of the caring Christian. They went to him because they loved him. Caring is loving. Soul winning is loving. Giving to missions is loving. Ladies and gentlemen, love is the key to it all. It's the key to everything. Without love, nothing really matters. As long as you just come to church and look at your watch and yawn, you'll never go to that back room and pick up a friend and take him to Jesus if you just play the game. Third, what was the price paid by these four? Everything of value costs. You understand that. But first of all, it cost them effort. They had to pick him up and carry him. Nothing worthwhile is accomplished without effort. Nothing. Long before they got to the house, they were tired. The reason some folks don't come Sunday night and Wednesday night is because it takes effort. You've got to get to the place where you are willing to say no to some things you want and yes to things that you ought to do. Okay? John Wanamaker was the Postmaster General of the United States in 1889. He was a millionaire businessman back in 1889. $1 million was a lot of money. He also taught Sunday school. He had a class full of junior boys. One of his other millionaire friends said, "John, how do you find time to teach Sunday school?" You know what John Wanamaker said? He said, "It's the most important thing I do." He's the Postmaster General. He is a millionaire businessman. He said, "The most important thing I do is teach Sunday school." Second of all, they overcame the obstacles. These men's hearts are pounding from exertion and excitement. As they got close to the house, their hearts sank. The house was packed. The doorway was full. There was no way to get him into the presence of Christ, but they didn't quit. There was an outside stairway. They carrying him up to the roof. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We all got saved because somebody wouldn't quit. Let me tell you, I got saved because there was a man standing in the pulpit in Odessa, and he would be in that pulpit for over 50 years. He wouldn't quit. And people got saved. We all get saved because someone won't quit. They tore the roof up. They loved their friend. Who paid for that roof? They paid for it. It was expensive to get their friend to Christ. And then they began to let him down through that hole in the roof. Well, this is just beautiful. Christ is preaching. He stops. And he begins to smile. He looks up and he says to himself, "Right on time." Christ is surrounded in that house by the fossilized hard heads who found fault with everything that he did. Last of all, the reward of those friends. First of all, it pleased Christ. Christ said in Luke 19:10, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. And it pleased Christ that they did that. And then there was joy in heaven because Christ said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Second of all, their friend was healed. Can you imagine the trip home by those five boys? All walking, all hugging, all crying. A reunion at his house with his mother and his father. That is just so exciting when you think about that. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what every church needs. And then third, the community was changed. For years, Capernaum talked about those five boys. Bill Buckner made a difference in his community. He was a good Christian man. He started an orphanage outside Dallas, Texas. He had to leave often to raise funds for the children's home. But when he came home, he always greeted all the children individually and told them how much he loved them. One little girl that was there had been horribly burned. Both her parents were killed in the fire. She did not come out to see Mr. Buckner. So he went looking for her. He found her hiding, tears making crooked little paths down those scarred cheeks. She said, you don't have to tell me you love me. I'm so ugly. He picked her up and held her close and said, you're not ugly to me, and I love you with all my heart. Why don't we just determine that we're going to make a difference in our community for the kingdom of God's sake? Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for whoever it was in our life that just wouldn't quit and kept sharing the Lord with us, and kept inviting us to church. And the end result of that was we got saved. Father, thank you for that person. We will stand before you someday with that person beside us, and we'll say thank you to them in front of you. So, Father, we ask that you just might speak to our hearts this morning. If there's someone here that's never been saved, that today might be the salvation where they come and say, oh, God, please forgive me and save me because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. Father, we ask that each one of us might be fervent and that we might be faithful to do what you would have us to do in our life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen. Rick's going to lead us in a couple of verses of an invitation hymn. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, we ask that you step out and come forward and kneel at this old-fashioned altar. As God speaks to you, please come.
To Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Jesus, I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender.
Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the absolute truth of your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
We've got a presentation. If the gentleman will come up here. This man has done more for me personally, I think, than anybody I can think of in a long time. And, Pastor, I can't even begin to say how much I appreciate you and Tina. So thank you for your time and thank you for your service.
Every October, we celebrate these two folks. We offer them back up to God as our gift to Him for what He has granted and given to us. 7 years ago this month, Margo and I, we came here from Wisconsin. We knew right away when we walked in that this was home, and it's been a wonderful journey so far. But one thing I have to say, I've never met a man that was more dedicated to his people and to the Word of God. And if you don't know anything more about Pastor Kim, know this. He is a scholar of the Old Testament. I recall when I met him, he said, who are your favorite people in the Bible? And I said, I just read about Elisha the Tishbite. And he said, no, I have to correct you. It was Elijah. That came back to bite me. But seriously, if you ever get a chance to talk Old Testament with this man, you will be amazed. He has a real grasp of God's word in the Old Testament. And not to say he doesn't do the New Testament. It's just to say, you know, when a man is as old as he is and walk with Moses, he knows more about it, okay? But it's...
Beyond appeals to us more.
Anyway, I just wanted to take a moment to say, as deacons, as a congregation, Pastor and Tina, you are the best. And we just appreciate you so much. We love you both. And we just pray that you have another 70 years or so left. So God bless you both. Thank you.
It has been Tina and I's joy to be here for the last 34 years, honest to goodness. And as you very well know, after all of these years, I got far better than what I deserved in a wife. And I mean that with all my heart. I love her. And God gives us wives to keep us humble about a lot of things. So, Tina, God bless you. Did you want to say something?
Yeah, I think now I do. This work has been our, not only our life's work, but our heart's work as well. You, dear people, mean so much to us, and we love you, and we are so thankful for each of you, even the honorary ones, Daryl, we are thankful for you as well. But we're so thankful for each one of you and the blessing that you have been to our lives. We, Jeremiah 29:11, he not only has a plan, it's a good plan, and we have been able to live that good plan with you people. And we go to hear different things, and people complain about this person or that person in another church or whatever it is, and we just say God has been so good to us, and we are so thankful for the people of Harvest Baptist Church. You bless our hearts in so many ways. Thank you.
Amen. Y'all are dismissed.